This is the September 8th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report. He's from Raymore, Missouri. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can also look in iTunes. You can look in the Google Play Store. And if you're an NPR One user, that's the app from National Public Radio, look up Commodity Week in their search function. You can find us there, too, at NPR One.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Let's begin with this question, as usual. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, what's on your list of items we should discuss for the day?
I think it's what direction do we think the market will go if the government leaves the their guesstimates of production the same?
Chuck Shelby?
I think we're looking at the dollar and had a pretty good reversal here this past week, so the dollar is pretty important, I think, with the reversal.
And Kevin Van Trump?
Yeah, I think it's how we're going to manage risk moving forward and, you know, what the banks are going to do and, what some of the planning intentions are going to be as we look towards 2017 seems to be popping up in a lot of questions that I'm fielding as of late.
Well, I'd like to start with Wayne Nelson's question. What does happen if USDA leaves production for corn at 175.1? Early estimates out from the trade suggest they're looking at maybe 3 bushels lower than that, not quite that much, 172.5 or thereabouts. What do we think would happen, do you suppose, Kevin, if USDA doesn't bother to change their corn number?
I'm kind of sitting here bracing for that to happen. I don't think there's going to be much of a change. And, like everyone's saying, 171 to 173 seems to be what a lot of guys are talking. And I'm not sure that happens. I don't think they pull back very much. And, I think prices eventually push to the downside nearby, especially as we work through harvest. I'm sitting there and talking to a lot of technical guys we used to trade with in Chicago, and everyone's kind of targeting that 280, 285 area as a possible downstroke before, maybe we start to add in some South American weather premium or something more adverse. But, I suspect lower highs and lower lows may continue to be the theme as we work through harvest here.
Are you fairly confident that this might be the case?
Yeah, that's how we're kind of, that's really how we're lined up and stacked up right now. We're taking a more just patient wait-and-see approach. I think, we're still keeping some edges in place. And, I'm personally long the wheat market, long and wrong, I guess I should say. And I'm afraid that we could get pressured as well as we work through this corn harvest. I just think there's going to be some fairly sizable numbers. And even though demand's good, I just think there's going to be some headwinds as some of these funds, I think, as we pointed out, the dollar could stay firm, and it just could create some complications as the money rotates around and seems to be not real interested in the commodity space.
Wayne Nelson, you asked this question. Is this something you had thought about, really thinking the USDA might leave the corn number at 175.1?
I'm thinking they might not bring it back here this time. I am feeling that the government's slow to, or they've seem to have been slow to change or back away from things. They've kept their crop ratings high, looks into things. Some of the early corn isn't telling us this and that, but depending on where you look at things, I don't know that there's enough proof for them to change at this point in time. And along with that, that sort of goes along with what Kevin's saying is it might sort of reverse the rally we've had this week. We've had corn, is up 10 cents for the week here now, and the funds may be getting moved around a little bit. And I'm sure that the commercials would like to see, a little bit of panic go into this so they can get some crops moving.
And how about you, Chuck Shelby?
Well, I think the fund money may be critical here. They're pretty short, big-time shorts in wheat and pretty short over in the corn market also. We've seen them cover a few of their positions here. So I think the key answer is, do they pile back on some more shorts in corn, or do they want to, you know, lift out of that as we go through this harvest season? So I hope the government will bring the yield down. Most of the people have been out in the field are seeing lower numbers. USDA's out in the fields. I hope that they see that, but nothing surprises me anymore about the USDA reports.
And what are yield reports coming in early on? I made a trip to West Lafayette today, and I think I saw maybe one field that had been opened up, but there are a few fields that are being opened up. What have you heard so far?
Well, I think in the better crop areas, Todd, the yield expectations are pretty good. I've heard of some 255s, 265s, some 240s. One of the things, though, that's out there, and I peeled some ears out of some of my fields, are Fusarium, Diplodia, some sprouts on the ears. So there are some issues with this wet weather, and I think that's another factor. The weather in the next 3 weeks looks to be pretty cold and wet, so the rains that have made the crop good in some areas maybe can't become, in the long run, something that becomes a factor as far as how this harvest progresses and some of the crop quality out there to go. Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned the dollar is something that we probably ought to pay attention to, and that it is important, always important, as it pertains to the export market. Export market has been strong, both for corn and soybeans. How is the dollar playing out in your mind?
Well, I think we're stuck in a range, Todd. We have times when we saw a pretty big rally out of down into the 94 area. We shot up into towards 96, dropped back down, though, towards 94. So we're kind of stuck in a range here unless we break out to the upside and get back up to 97 or 98. I don't really think it's going to hurt us much here. I think in the long run, when you look at world buyers, I mean, I think the key answer to getting this market to have upside is continuation of really good demand from around the world. We really are the only supplier right now. When you look at, you know, South Americans are getting ready to produce another crop, but as far as exports go, we're really in the driver's seat in the next few months till they get the new crop coming on.
That is the case, and that turns me, Chuck, I think, to soybeans. I want to stay with you for just a second. We'll have what most expect to be a very large soybean crop, and we can talk about whether USDA's number will get bigger or not, I guess. But on the front side of that, the ending stocks for this marketing year, the 2015-16 marketing year, look like they should shrink down maybe to as low as 200 million bushels. Do you think that'll happen, and will it make much of a difference?
Well, I think it does. It's interesting that in the previous 4 or 5 years, we always start out at 450, 475 and carry out. We always are ending up down around 200 when we didn't think that was possible during the course of the year. So when we look at that, I think that's a real possibility. But when I look at the yield on the soybeans, Todd, I mean, I am thinking the corn yield's smaller in the long run, but the bean yields and the weather we've had on these soybeans, I think, and some of the early harvest yields we've heard, I think the bean number in the long run could grow up into over 50 bushel, because I think it's just that good of a bean crop out there for a lot of guys.
Wayne, do you agree it's that good of a bean crop? And have you heard anything from the Delta region?
You know, not very little down there, but what we have seen in our area here, that's probably a given. I don't know how it stretches all around. On the Mississippi Delta, I've seen some corn yields from down there. I haven't seen many of the bean yields from down there. You know, it's sort of funny. They do rice and corn before they do their beans down there, so we haven't seen many bean yields.
All right. And, Kevin, when you think about the dollar as it relates to the export market and the global picture, can you put it into perspective for the coming year?
Yeah, you know, I think that's your big question as far as fund flow is concerned. You know, right now it seems, you know, a lot of the big money players are kind of sitting on their hands a bit. We're inside of 60 days until this upcoming U.S. presidential election. It's got everybody seeming to be somewhat of a nervous wreck, and I think that's keeping some of the money sidelined as far as the directional movement of the dollar. With that being said, it's tough to forecast any real rally or money flowing heavily into the commodity space. They're the riskier type asset plays. It just seems like everyone's going to watch this Fed maybe make a, one or I should say maybe two moves in the next, couple of meetings and see how the election plays out and kind of sit on the sideline here a bit before they do a whole lot. So that's what I'm with Chuck a little bit. I think, we got to pay attention to where the money flows. And right now it just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of action just because I think there are some really big ticket items coming up on the horizon. And with the harvest coming through, I think that's going to make it tough to mount a sizable rally without the money flow.
I want to talk about some other things beyond the marketplace just a little bit, maybe a little bit on farmland values, cash rents as we move forward, the mix of what producers might raise next year. Are any of those things going to change very much? I know here on campus, Gary Schnittke's talking a lot about soybeans being the better option for producers in the next year. Will they take that up? Wayne Nelson, do you think that's a possibility?
I think that beans, we saw people switch to beans this year that had some planting delays and thought that they didn't. It looks like it's going to be a wise choice for them. Also, I think along the way, as far as farm ground goes, and we're looking at it, some ground sold in the county south of here, and it brought probably $1,500 to $2,000 less than what the crowd that was there to watch, not to buy, but to watch, thought it would bring. Just 6 months ago, it would have probably bought about $7,500, $7,600 an acre in that area, and it the bid was at $54. So, we are seeing that go down. I am thinking, and all the bankers that I've been talking to said, unless these prices gain back up, there's a lot of people that don't realize they might be in trouble because we're not going to give them the money to pay $300 plus cash rent next year. So I think that that's one of the things that's going to be what the bank decides to do if we don't get an increase in corn price is going to be very important.
And so cash rent potentially going down again this year. The Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers said $20, and those are the professional farm managers. Gary Schnittke is a little bit more conservative because not everything is professionally farm managed in the state. Maybe $17 lower on cash rent in the state. And I suppose if interest rates stay as they are, and again, this comes from Gary, not from me, he's of a mind that whatever the change in the cash rent is, that'll be roughly the percentage that farmland changes in value. I suppose, Chuck or Kevin, do either of you have any thoughts in either of these areas? Maybe we can start with you, Chuck.
Well, I think last year we were somewhat surprised that producers stuck with corn acres. I mean, they still 94 million. And one thing I've been traveling around from Ohio to South Dakota in the last several years, it's really the Western guys that amazed me. They've got away from wheat. They've accepted corn and soybeans in their rotation, Todd. And certainly their budgets out to the West with a wider basis and don't having as much yield potential, it surprises me that they continue in that. But once you get the equipment bought to plant corn, it's hard to go to anything else. So I would expect the bean acres to grow next year, kind of in line with what Wayne was saying. When you look at the cash flow to put out a bean crop compared to a corn crop, and certainly corn's a lot more expensive. So I think there'll be more pressure to go to beans from bankers. As we go forward, that certainly impacts our rents. I know you're talking about $17 to $20. It depends where you are on that number, but even if you took $20 off of 300, 280 is still a pretty undesirable number as far as rent goes. It really doesn't help you that much.
I think you may have nailed something on the head. Maybe, Kevin, you can help me out. The Western producers, they've got corn planters. Will they use them to put more soybean acres in next year? Will that be the place that we get the change?
I think you're definitely going to see it. I was out last week. I spoke for the Nebraska Bankers Association. They're extremely nervous. You got cash corn trading hands up in the Dakotas this last week, $1.90, $1.85 to some end users. And the basis is just blistering some guys out to the west. We were a couple of our ethanol plants out in southwest Kansas. We, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been paying 60, 70 over on new crop corn. And we're down right now. We're paying 30 to 40 under on our way to probably 70 under. We're seeing the same thing out in parts of western Nebraska. And I suspect the basis is going to be what really chews guys up this year. And it creates a huge, huge headwind. We've been telling most of our people, that they've got to take the opportunity, even into some of the areas These are areas that said they would never see an even basis. They're just in the corn deficit areas, and we're seeing the basis just get torn apart. And I suspect that starts to move itself from west to east into some of the eastern areas. And I think that's going to be the one that straw that can break the camel's back, so to speak. Guys just don't have the cash flow right now, and you're seeing the balance sheets tick back as well with the land valuations going down. So some of the bankers are getting nervous. And we've had a lot of guys come to me on come to the office on the private side wanting help because they've had their lines pulled and other things. And I think that problem probably moves your guys' direction sooner rather than later. And definitely we have had conversations with many, many big producers out west who are going to go with more beans next year just to stop the burn. Just like you guys were saying earlier, right? They got to stop the bleeding somehow, and that's the way they're going to have to get it done. So, you know, I think the basis of some guys got to really be paying close attention to out there. I know there's some areas right now because the harvest has been delayed down to the south, and the Gulf's been extremely strong, and that's allowed the basis in your guys' area to stay in good shape for a while. But I suspect as we get deeper into harvest and some of this other corn that's in piles and ground piles of wheat start to have to find a home, I don't see any way that you get a real strengthening of basis as we move forward.
Okay, so I've got a question, and I'm going to go through some of the cash rent break-even numbers from Gary here before I get to the question, but think about this for just a second. Do producers who will have, of course, bean acres next year need to be thinking about making any marketing moves for next year at this point, looking forward to potentially a pretty good-sized crop out of South America? We don't know about that. And then maybe potentially more acres in the United States. Here are the break-even cash rent prices. And this is for all acreage across the Illinois, 200 bushel corn. The cash rent in 2015, these would be from the FBFM records, was $268 on average. Break even $200 for 2017. $185, break even's $185. And the 2015 cash rent was $230. So that's what, $1,545 down. And at 163 bushel, the acre average cash rent was $159. And he says $59 off that at $100 an acre. So those are, and that's given $3.54 corn and $9 soybeans. So those are some numbers. Producers are going to really have to begin to think about pushing the pencil much harder than they ever have, at least for the last decade or so. And I suspect their bankers will force them to do that at this point. Now, come back to that thought, Wayne Nelson, of marketing next year's soybean crop. Do producers, if they're going to put more soybeans in, really need to think about marketing next year's crop sooner rather than later?
Well, with those sort of numbers, it's just depressing. It sounds like they ought to be looking for the auctioneer, but...
well, things are always better. Better than you thought. You can listen, by the way, to Gary Schnitke's webinar. It's still up on the website. There's a link at the willag.org website. He did ask me after the fact if I thought he was too pessimistic because he was in the office, but the numbers are the numbers. So anyway, what's your thought on marketing soybeans for next year?
Well, you know, I haven't been very aggressive in going out that far yet, but if you do stop and believe that we're going to have many more acres here, the one thing we do have going for us is the idea that South America, Argentina especially, was going to plant more corn. Brazil talking about planting more corn because they run out of corn this year. They might not be quite as competitive. And we still haven't seen their planting conditions as what they are. And we ought to hopefully get one weather scare that at least get us up to maybe above the $9.50 price or something, but probably somewhere in the $9.50 to $9.75, probably the first increment probably wouldn't be a bad idea to be putting on.
How about you from you, Chuck?
Well, I think it really, you know, creates a real difficult, you know, emotional situation when you look out there at trying to lock in those prices. We started doing that again in 2016, and then the bean market took off. So the ability to be, you know, somewhat flexible, but I think getting started is not a bad idea. And I also, looking at the D17 corn, it's got the 379 today. I mean, if we get a little more rally out of this thing and get it back into the 85 or 90 range, you know, that doesn't seem to be too bad of an idea either to start with. So we're going to start the year over again. Things just become more complex. input side, certainly seed corn has not come down very much. So maybe fertilizer, and you might get a little bit lower in chemicals. But seed costs are one of the more prohibitive things when you look at the corn. That's part of one of the your bigger budget price in that we need to try to control somehow, Todd.
You think come down $5 to $7 an acre?
It's kind of the same thing. Again, it's kind of like the cash rent. That really doesn't help change your budget enough to make it really desirable. So,
that's just one bushel, Todd. We need more like 5 or 6 bushel change to make them profitable, make it better, don't we, Chuck?
Right. And in this process, when we saw prices go up and rents go up, everything was a process over time and took several years to get there. So on the way back down, it's not as much fun, but it's the same process. It takes time. Eventually, it catches up with the lower commodity prices, but it's kind of a painful process in reverse, and it seems like it takes forever coming back down. Obviously, going up, it was a lot easier for us as producers to pay those bigger numbers for input costs or rents.
I suppose one of the items that becomes really quite difficult, Kevin, is that on the way back down, you've already brought acres in, more acres in around the planet, and you may have to eliminate some of those over time. So the question really is, where does that happen, and how much damage has to be done before it begins to happen? However, given all of that, Mr. Van Trump, we've had a pretty good week in corn and soybeans in the market this week. It's been a nice little rally, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're up, beans are up about 45 cents, I guess, from the early SEP lows. And like I said, we rallied a little bit here in corn. And wheat has given me a little bit of room to breathe here. But, I suspect this may be a little bit short-lived. I guess, obviously, a lot will depend on what the USDA has to say. As for you guys' soybean question earlier, I'm 10% sold in 17. I was 30% sold in 17. I had some sales on the books at 960. And when we ran down, I kind of took some profits. But I'm looking to make some sales again up a peach that I've been 975 and that no 17. And in between there and 10 bucks, I'm trying to get to 30 to 40% sold is what I'm trying to do, just because I know those numbers work and you got some profit in them. And I think that gives you some room to at least sleep a little better at night and make some adjustments as we move forward. So, I had that question, Todd, that you just asked, where the production acres going to be cut from? And there was kind of silence in the room at that Nebraska Bankers meeting. And I just said, you tell me when you guys are going to quit loaning. And they were kind of like, I don't know. And it's similar to what we saw with the housing crisis. I mean, I didn't see any guys quit building houses until the banks pull back and stop loaning the money. So I don't know of any farmers that are going to let the ground sit idle. And it sure doesn't seem like, anyone wants to pull back on being a corn farmer these days, especially some of the guys that added all the corn acres up north into the Dakotas and those other parts. So I don't know. I don't have that answer. I think you're going to see these banks and these perimeter states that have some bad debt on the books already in the energy sector. I think some of these new rules and regulations are causing them to quarantine some things off, and I think they're going to pull back some of the lines more aggressively as we move forward into 17. So I suspect that's where the acreage cut comes from, and I think that's how the game's going to play itself out. So your high-cost producer is probably going to be in a little bit of trouble moving forward. And I'll tell you, I've heard a lot of guys out there say, their break-evens on corn are $4.75 to $5. So I think those guys are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, so you're talking about North Dakota in particular, getting a double whammy, relatively speaking, two energies, real energy and then a corn crop. That'd be a tough life there, I suppose. However, they were with wheat prior to that, and that's not pretty either. And is that one on the global market, do you think, going to create problems even more as we move forward in time here for at least this crop year?
Yeah, I would agree. I think you got this global glut of feed wheat, especially from the Black Sea area, primarily Russia, that, it's going to be hard to digest. We're seeing a lot more. All the cattle guys have been talking. We're seeing a lot more wheat work into the feed rations. That's why, there's a little bit of talk if they raise the corn export number on Monday, they may back off the feed and residual number and kind of weigh those two against each other. And it's just, we've just been having a real tough time working through this darn, you know, this wheat right now. I've taken a bullish stance just because we've got record large, you know, shorts on the fund side. And I feel like there's going to be some type of geopolitical movement out of Putin or some of these other areas that may spark just at least a short covering rally back closer to the 450 or $5 range. But from a fundamental perspective, boy, it sure is tough to swallow. And the wheat could, you know, there's a lot of fundamental bears out there that think wheat could work its way down to the 320, 340 area. So, you know, it's going to be tough. If that happens, it's going to be real tough for corn to get up and run.
Let's do final thoughts now. I think I'll start with you, Chuck Shelby.
Well, it's going to be a difficult time here. I think producers got to look at little rallies to take advantage of. I do believe we will have opportunities to rally out of some of these harvest lows. When you look at the funds, I think they do like movement at a certain point down here. If corn does drop down, I would think there's a point where they take their money and run out of the short side. I think the same thing on wheat. I think we can have some price opportunities as we go forward, but we've got to take those and be ready to be flexible as we move into 2017.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
No, I agree with Chuck. I think that there's going to be some places where the funds are going to get long. We've got some of the analysts talking about some inflation fears coming on in that might help raise the commodities and get the funds back in more effectively like that. But don't look for them to be, you know, dollar moves. Look for them to be 35 to 50 cent moves. And be ready, like Chuck says, get ready to pull the trigger when it's in a profit mode.
Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report.
Yeah, I agree with that, guys. You know, I'm a sports guy, and I like to use the baseball analogy, especially we're heading into the playoffs and the Cubs are playing pretty well. I think you got to take a two-strike approach. I think we've had to have that the last year, year and a half. You know, you got to move up in the box, crowd the plate a little bit, and if you have to, get hit by a pitch. You got to do whatever you can to get on base here. I wouldn't be swinging for the fences. And as Pete says, you know, shoot when the ducks are in the air, so to speak, and take the profits when they present themselves. We have to try and live to play another day here. So,
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find it online at willag.org, willag.org, on demand in its entirety. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.